So good morning, everyone. Welcome, visitors. TCF's DNA 2025, part two. Let me just pray first of all. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak to us all. You'd anoint my lips, my words, that I say the right things and prepare our hearts as good soil to receive your word, so that we can retain it and persevere with it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So, if you haven't heard this or you want to recap, what is TCF's DNA? We know what physical, biological DNA is, don't we? But our DNA are the foundational principles, beliefs and practices that we as a church were born with. And we can sort of trace it back. God built it into us in the mid-70s when this church was really kind of born or reborn under Mike Godwin's leadership. And it's very much, these are the things that have almost defined us as a church. It's what makes us tick. And over the next four sessions, well, we've had one already today, then and then two more, we'll be discussing that. Why is this important? Well, as we grow as a church, as God has promised we will, and we expand, there's going to be a great revival in this area. As we expand into multiple congregations and local churches, how will these people relate to each other? It's not going to be a centralized bureaucracy. That never works, and not another denomination. But nor will it be a sort of a free-for-all that just everyone goes, oh, see ya, nice knowing you, goodbye. The answer is we will be a family of churches. And what families share is DNA. That's what will make us the same and relate to one another. So this is actually quite important. Once DNA is sort of planted, as it were, it lasts forever. Of course, there are other aspects of our identity. There's the long-term prophecies, the vision. We've got hundreds of prophecies over us as a church that steer us and define where we are going. And these have been topped up over the years, and we've had so many people come in and say the same prophecies without knowing that someone else has said them. So it just reinforces it, isn't it, when God says the same thing independently again and again. And obviously the two that are very much key, this one goes back to the mid-70s. The least of you will become 1,000, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord, in its time I will do this swiftly. And then much more recently, which is kind of steering how we're doing this, Job 36:16, a very obscure verse. And you kind of look for a context, it's hard to find a context. He is wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place, free from restriction, to the comfort of your table, laden with choice food. Those two verses are very much steering where we're going now. And then, so those are other aspects of our identity. And there's other stuff as well that I suppose pretty much most evangelical churches would have. So this isn't so much our DNA, it's like obvious stuff. We believe in the baptism of believers. We believe that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is all of it for all of us. And we uphold the Evangelical Alliance basis of faith, really. And you can find more about that in the link if you click it later on. Our DNA, what makes TCF so unique and different is a collection of what you might call 12 strands. We talked last week about the presence of God in our gatherings, the worship of God, mainly in our meetings, but also ourselves in the week, and supernatural living. We rely on answered prayer. We rely on the miraculous power of God. I always want a church where if God doesn't show up, the whole thing can't continue. That's the kind of church I want to be part of. Too many churches roll on very successfully, it seems, almost, without God even being necessary. I never want us to be like that. So last time I covered those three. Today it's these three, and they're all to do with revelation. Okay, hearing the voice of God through his Spirit in us. intentionally listening and obeying. Another bit of revelation, the Bible is true and inspired to guide us and teach us what living with Jesus is all about, and what we call body ministry, each one of us expressing the gifts of the Spirit for the good of God's people. So those are the main three today. Just so if you're wondering what the other six are, I won't preach on them, I'll just mention them. We believe powerfully in the kingdom of God. Okay, the values, the vision, the power of heaven coming to earth, coming to Thurrock. We believe in these godly metaphors for who we are. We are the bride of Christ, we're the body of Christ, we're the family of God. It's really important to grasp these metaphors. They're biblical, but knowing who you are is so important. And then this idea of leadership is team. You come to one meeting or another, you might think, oh, that person's a leader. Oh, that person's a leader. Well, actually, leadership is a team thing. It's far safer that way, and it's far more biblical, I believe. And then key attitudes, which we'll look at in 2 weeks' time, not literally weeks, but actually the end of May, this one. We're welcoming and accessible to all. And that includes going out there and reaching and making ourselves even more welcoming and more accessible. Generosity is a heart attitude, not just money, but in terms of ourselves, giving ourselves, and God receives the glory. We're not going to put ourselves, you know, look how great we are, we say on Facebook. We're not going to do that. We're not going to have Instagram showing how wonderful TCF is and all the things we're doing, because that's just giving us the glory. God gets the glory. So those are the four main ones, but as I say, today I want to look at the revelation ones. Hearing the voice of God, the Bible is true and inspired, and body ministry. This is how God reveals himself to us corporately, so when we meet, and as individuals. Unlike many other Christian denominations, and indeed other world religions, we truly believe that God wants to speak to us in our day-to-day lives, and that he does speak to us. God is a communicating God. There's this, think back to the Garden of Eden. There's that relationship that he began with us, with mankind, in that garden. He wants to restore and maintain and deepen that relationship. God is a relational God. He speaks to us. He speaks to us today. If Jesus wants us to come to him and learn from him, then he must fully intend to communicate with us. He must intend to reveal himself to us day by day. That's his plan. That's his heart. How has he made this possible? Well, think about John 16, 13 and 14. Jesus himself said, "When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me," that's Jesus, "because it's from me that he will receive what he makes known to you." So the Holy Spirit is given to us. He's living in us. He's speaking to us. He's tasked with revealing the words of God and the commands of Jesus and the Father to us as individuals and as a church. Have you ever thought the author of the Bible is inside you? Wow. God has established an internal communication system with all of his sons and daughters, with all of us. If you're a Christian, God's got a communication system that he's implanted within you. He's a God who communicates. So all three of those that relates to, really. But let's look at the first one in detail. Hearing God's voice through the operation of his Holy Spirit within us. This is possible. It's necessary and it's essential to living as a Christian. It's obviously, as church leadership, we have to be also listening to God for the direction of the church. And we do. Every leadership meeting we have, we spend at least the first half an hour or so, mostly in silence, saying, so what are we doing today, Holy Spirit? What are you saying to us? And so no church meeting is just, no leadership team meeting is just a business meeting. We listen to him throughout. We expect to put his commands into practice. So we need to have that expectation. All of us can, all of us should, all of us must hear the voice of the Holy Spirit within us. This has always been part of TCF's DNA. We hear from God. There's a verse in Galatians 5, 16, and then I've jumped to 25. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not satisfy the desires of the flesh. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Let's be yoked with the Spirit. We talked about that last week, didn't we? Keep in step with him. So we can see from these verses that the main way of avoiding falling into sin is simply to follow the Spirit of God. We always have a choice. Imagine you had a good, mature Christian friend who literally spent 24 hours a day with you. Literally, you know, they ate with you, they slept with you, they whatever you did at work or wherever, your godly Christian friend is with you, and all the time they were giving you words of advice, warning you about potential slip-ups. It would actually be pretty hard to sin, wouldn't it, in those circumstances? It'd be very tough to sin. And that really is what that verse is saying, though, isn't it? We do have such a mature Christian friend. He's called the Holy Spirit. And he is with us 24/7. He lives inside us. So if we listen to him, as that verse says, you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. Just learn to walk with him day by day, minute by minute. And then our identity. The Holy Spirit also gives us our identity. Remember that verse. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So what defines us as a child of God is that we have the Spirit of God in us and we are led by him. That comes from a bigger passage, doesn't it? Romans 8, 9 to sort of 16. You are not ruled by the power of sin. Instead, the Holy Spirit rules over you. This is true if the Spirit of God lives in you. And anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Christ. There you are. It's kind of cut and dry, doesn't it, really, there? You either have the Spirit and he's leading you, or you don't and you aren't a Christian. If Christ lives in you, you will live. Through your body, though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life. The Spirit does this because you have been made right with God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God, sons of God. So that's great news. There's not a new level you have to reach, you know, Christian level 2. Christian level 1 can have all of this. This is all part of your normal Christian life. Okay, it's not for sort of specialists or leaders or whatever. It's for everybody. So just think about that. We are not primarily people of the book, like the Jews or the Muslims. We're not people of the book. We're not people who get 100% of your guidance from just the Bible. We are primarily created in Christ to be led by the Holy Spirit. Day to day, minute by minute, year by year. Historically, for most of Christian history, the majority of believers have not had access to their own copy of the Bible anyway. You know, we are living in a time of real luxury. You can pick up your Bible or you can get it, you know, electronic form, and you can read it whenever you want. This is unprecedented in human history. So, yet the church survived. More than survived, it grew, it flourished. Why? Because people have learned to walk with the Holy Spirit. Of course, they hear the Bible read on a Sunday, they would. They'd have something read out in churches, the Word of God, but that's not what they had every day necessarily. So yes, of course we must read, study and meditate on the Bible. Of course we must value and treasure the prophetic giftings of people in the church. But they are not a substitute for God speaking to us personally. That's why we have Seeking God meetings. That's why we encourage every one of us to seek God every day in our personal lives. And as leaders, we must expect God. This is going to be our main method of Him steering the church. We must set ourselves up to listen and to obey. So do we give God time in our lives to do this important thing? That's a rhetorical question, but one for you to think about. Do we do that? Do we give the Holy Spirit room? And then the second bit of DNA for today is the Bible is true and inspired. Another way that God reveals Himself to us. It's to guide us and to teach us about what living with Jesus is all about. We practice doing that. So, having said everything I've said about the Holy Spirit, Jesus Himself was a great student of the Scriptures, wasn't He? He treasured them as the word of His Father to us. So on three specific occasions when Jesus was tempted, what did He say? He repelled the devil by saying, Scripture says, or it is written. That was Jesus' ammunition against the devil, wasn't it? The word of God has great power if we use it correctly. In order to use it properly, we need to know it really well. Jesus didn't go, Satan, somewhere or other, it says something a bit like, he knew it. It was there, almost literally on the tip of his tongue, because he'd spent time developing his understanding and memory of the word of God. Jewish children had to memorize the whole of the Torah, all of it. They memorize it. That was part of their major part of their schooling. They had to do that. So it really was on the tip of their tongue. The Bible makes no distinction really between the Old and the New Testaments. You don't read Old Testament somewhere written there. You don't read New Testament. That was added later. It's all revelation from God. There is new covenant teaching in the old, and there's old covenant references in the new. So let's look at it in the round. It's erroneous to pick, you know, we shouldn't pick up a section of the Bible that we like best and stick only to that. The Scriptures are supposed to be a balanced diet. Don't restrict yourself to eating beans on toast every day. You know what I mean? Let's have a balanced diet of the Scriptures. All Scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it's best to read. So all Scripture's inspired. Let's read it all, then. Let's allow it all to permeate into our hearts and our wills, as well as our minds. Let's expect to be challenged by it and to be changed by it. Probably most guidance comes to us as the Holy Spirit uses the Scriptures. I find this. It's still the Holy Spirit doing it, but He'll bring verses to my mind. He's the author of them anyway, isn't He? If you want to practice listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying, then tune in by reading what He's already said. Great way of doing it, isn't it? You know, they say if you want to learn a language, just immerse yourself in that language and that culture, and you'll soon understand that language. So if you want to know what the Holy Spirit's saying now, what did He say previously in Scripture? Historically, all effective believers, Christian believers, have read the Bible daily whenever they can, since people had their own copies of the Bible anyway. And usually, people who were really going on with God tended to read the whole Bible at least once a year. That's just a fact. The great men and women of God, they will be reading the Bible a lot, but at least once a year. If you were to read one chapter of the New Testament, three chapters of the Old, and a portion of Psalms or Proverbs, that will get you through the Bible in a year. It really isn't that difficult. We read far more outside of the Bible on social media and other things. It's not a lot of reading to do. Okay? And that's why we have I suggest the big picture reading plan, taken from the NIV Bible in 1 year, it gives you a balanced diet. So if you have a better plan than that, then fine, go for it. But at least have a plan. Interesting, actually, how prophecy can come into this. Okay. If you know the Bible well, I would say about 70% of the prophetic word comes from Scripture in one way or the other. And often God will, he will say something not always brand new to us prophetically. Sometimes he'll underline something that's already been said, or sometimes he'll even repurpose a scripture with a new interpretation specifically for you. So that's interesting, isn't it? I mean, here's one. Okay, recognize that one. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and regaining of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Where's that from? Isaiah? Whoa, Isaiah, Luke. Yes, you're both right. Actually, it's a partial quote from Isaiah 61. It's actually only the first two verses. But where I got it from was in the synagogue in Nazareth, in Luke's gospel. He began to tell them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled, even as you have heard it read." Okay, now it's actually really interesting because Jesus didn't take the whole of that passage and quote it. He missed out one key point. Which phrase has been missed out from here, those that know it? So what's that? What's the phrase? It's the year of the Lord's favor and a day of vengeance of our God. Interesting, isn't it? Jesus didn't read that one out, because he wasn't applying it then. He's basically saying all the rest of these things are being fulfilled now. All of the rest are being fulfilled now. But not the day of vengeance of our God. That will be fulfilled on Jesus' second coming. You see? So he was using the scripture as a prophetic thing, applying it. The Holy Spirit was applying it through Jesus, taking a scripture, and I don't mean it was changing the meaning exactly, but it was slightly repurposing it for that situation in Nazareth then and there. And they were so happy to hear that, they basically tried to throw him off a cliff just after that, didn't they? So not every prophecy is well received. Okay, so that's the scriptures. And then we have body ministry. So see, here's my third strand of DNA. This is all about each one of us expressing the gifts of the Spirit for the good of God's people. So when we use the phrase body ministry, we mean members of the church, the body of Christ, bringing revelation and encouragement to one another. And obviously this can occur in meetings. It should occur in meetings or outside of them. Each of us is unique. You're unique, Lisa. You're unique, Karen. You're unique, Sunny. I won't go around the room, but Joe, you're unique. All right, Joe, unique. You're unique. But that's.
You're uniquely non-unique.
And that means each of us is uniquely gifted by the Holy Spirit to build others up. So if one of us doesn't do our job, everyone else is going to suffer. Okay, but body ministry is that. It's the word and revelation of Christ coming through members of the body for the benefit of other members of the body. Paul illustrates this principle using the human body itself, its limbs, its organs. We are members of the one body. And I don't know if you realize this, but the term membership, you know, if you join a club or a society, whatever, that term membership comes from the Apostle Paul. We use it all over the place today in today's society. You know, are you a member of Slimming World or something? But it actually comes from being members of a body. And originally it was related to the body of Christ. So that's really important. Each of us is a member of the body of Christ. Each of us has unique supernatural gifts. to build one another up. And it's really important that we do that. It means each one of us is indispensable. Because if Mike's not here 1 week and that, his gift isn't going to be able to be used to build anyone else up, at least not unless he posts something on the WhatsApp group that's not quite as good. We need to realise that. We don't have our gift for ourselves, we have our gift to give away for other people. And here's the sort of things that should be happening in a TCF meeting. When you come together, each one of you has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. And that's just a few. There are others as well. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. Okay. So if any individual, through selfishness or poor self-esteem, denies the rest of the membership the benefit of his or her presence and gifting, the entire body of Christ is that much poorer, because we don't get your tongue or interpretation or revelation. The body of Christ cannot receive revelation from God from that direction. So our actions when we're together should be to work out what gifts and ministries we have and think, you know, it's now Sunday, we're meeting together. How can I use that gift or ministry to build up my fellow Christians? We're starting to come along on a Sunday to share good stories, and that's really good. And, you know, your mind goes blank, doesn't it, just before somebody says, anyone got a good story? But we're getting there. And we're starting to come along to the meeting and giving financially, and that's great. But we need equally much to say, okay, I'm coming to the meeting tomorrow. What have you got, Holy Spirit? What can I reveal to the body of Christ to build them up tomorrow, if today was Saturday, so that the church can be blessed, so that people can increase in their faith? It's really important that we do that, okay? There's a scripture from 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11, which I won't read it all out now. I've quoted the reference for the recording, but it's talking about a load, 9 miraculous gifts of the Spirit. There are others. Which of those, just look there, which of those seem particularly to be to do with revelation? Come on, shout out some. What? Which of those to do with revelation? David, give us one in that list.
Message of wisdom.
Yeah, message of wisdom. Well, the first one, yeah. Yeah. Message of knowledge. Yeah, that's 2. Probably not so much faith or gifts of healing or miraculous powers, essential as they are. They're not so much revelation gifts, are they? Yeah, distinguishing between spirits. Like, that's really important. If someone has said something like, where's that coming from? Is that coming from the Holy Spirit? Is that just their own head? Is that coming from the kingdom of darkness? That's really important to know that. What else? Anything else?
Prophecy.
Tongues. So those were the ones I thought were most obviously revelatory gifts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So 6 of the 9 are specifically revelation gifts. So what's yours? I don't know. Maybe you haven't fully discovered your gifts. Maybe you've got a bit of a toolbox there and you've got several of these. But one of our tasks is to find out, what are my gifts and how can I use them for the benefit of the body of Christ? And of course, they're not just for the body of Christ. Some of those might be for, you meet someone on the doors or in the streets or at work or whatever, and suddenly you've got a word of knowledge. I've had that kind of thing in a kind of workplace environment. There's nothing to do with the church meeting, but they're for them as well. They're to get the gospel into people's lives. So really important that we know what our spiritual gifts are. And I think in our meetings, we always need to make room for them. We don't want wall-to-wall songs from 10:30 to 11:30 or whatever, with no room for the Holy Spirit to speak through us. It's really, really important that we have body ministry as part of our things. And I've noticed, in a way, I'm having to G people up a bit here. I shouldn't have to, as a leader, I shouldn't have to say, come on, folks, what prophecies, what revelations have you got? Should all this be the other way around? Like, oh, too many today, you know, hold back. We'd only have three or four today. That one's a great prophecy, but we'll have that next week or something. I should be holding back the crowd, not sort of forcing you. So please come to the meetings prepared to bring words from God. The Apostle Paul said, I wish all of you would prophesy, all of you. You know, aim to go on the major revelatory gifts, particularly prophecy. So there's also ones in Romans chapter 12, including teaching. So that's another spiritual gift. Testing body ministry, just a couple of things about that. There's a scripture there, isn't there? 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 to 22. Don't quench the spirit. Don't treat prophecies with contempt. That basically means don't ignore them. Don't just wave them away. Yeah, 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 you know, nothing here. That's what treating a prophecy with contempt is all about. Don't do that. But don't be gullible either. Test them all. Hold on to what's good. Reject every kind of evil. I was chatting to David yesterday, and I was just saying, there isn't actually a specific verse in the Bible that specifically says, test a prophecy against the scripture. If you can find one, then great. But neither David nor I could think of a absolutely overt, nailed down one. But here's one that David thought of, and which I thought was actually quite a good one, so I'll use this one. Thessalonians, Paul went to Thessalonica, didn't he? And had quite a bad time. he was very persecuted there. He established a church, but whatever. And then the next place he went was to Berea. And he had a much nicer time, and they were a lot friendlier. And it says, as soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Now, that's quite close, isn't it? You've got the prophecy bit that refers to Thessalonica, and you've got this bit about examining the scriptures. So it doesn't say quite in so many words, examine prophecies, but really, examine everything. Examine Paul's preaching. Examine my preaching. Examine anyone's. Against the scriptures to see if what is said is actually true. Jesus in the wilderness used scripture to test and the devil was putting things into his mind, and Jesus was going, hang on a minute, it's written, and he would contradict the devil with scripture. So Jesus was sort of testing prophecy in a broad sense, wasn't he, in the wilderness. Every temptation, Jesus answered with a scripture. It is written. And the most obvious reason for all of this is, since the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible, and he's the author of prophecy and other spiritual gifts, he's not going to contradict himself, is he? What he says to you today isn't going to contradict what is written in his word. So we must always compare body ministry with scriptural truths, since scripture is perfect and reliable. So I'll sum up now. These are the three things we've looked at today. Hearing the word of God, the Bible is true and inspired, and body ministry then. These are the three aspects of the spiritual DNA that is how our church ticks. And fundamentally, we believe that God wants to speak to us. Relationship is all about communication, whether that's marriage, whether that's a friendship, whatever. It's certainly between us and God. It's all about communication. What he began in the Garden of Eden, he wants to restore and to deepen. He fully intends to communicate with us every day. So the Holy Spirit given to us, living in us, speaking to us, is the one tasked with revealing the words and commands of Christ. So let's be intentional about hearing God in all the ways that he wants to speak to us. directly through the Spirit in our hearts, through his written word, the Bible, and indirectly through members of the body of Christ on earth. So there's some challenges for us to look at in community group. Do we spend sufficient time listening for God's voice in our busy lives? What could we personally do to improve that? So this is, you know, this is us being honest in community group. Do we have a Bible reading plan so that we have a balanced diet of scripture? How intentional are we about memorizing and meditating on Bible verses? And thirdly, finally, what is our own spiritual gift from God? What are we doing to strengthen that gift and make it available for the benefit of the body of Christ? And as part of that is not just giving, it's receiving. Do I allow others to speak into my life? Am I willing to receive the word of God as much as I am to give it out? Am I teachable? So there we are, end of part two. These things are all part of TCF's DNA. Let's enjoy them and let's benefit from them and let's pass them on. In Jesus' name, amen.